Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. Who are Paradigm Shifters? People making a difference in the collective of our species at this time on our planet, the time of what's called the Great Shift. And I have a wonderful paradigm shifter, actually two, tonight. Our guest is Ginger Matro, and Ginger is a channel for a wonderful consortium or coalescence of consciousnesses that's lovingly called Galexis. So welcome to the show, Ginger.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm really excited for us to hear what Galexis has to say about change, about magic, about the breaking down systems and the money magic and all the other things going on. I bet you have a lot to report.
Oh, gosh, so much has been going on. And those who are listening are probably very well aware of how much change they've been going through over the past few months.
It's been terrifying for some people, hasn't it?
Yeah, they've had to really let go of some serious old stuff.
And finding muscles we didn't know we had.
That's the learning process.
Now, Ginger, tell us how long you've been channeling Galexis.
Well, I've been channeling over 20 years. They came in July of, of 1988.
Hmm. Now, a lot of people don't really know what happens with consciousnesses, you know. So do they actually go through a shift as well? Do they go through huge changes?
Well, people who have heard me channel in the early days and people who've heard me channel recently have noticed how much different it is, because Galexis, the group, all speaking as one, also have to go through a growth curve in learning how to work with me.
Hmm.
And how to get the information through better, how to get me out of the way more easily, and how to distill information and work with time, because they don't have time.
And talking about time, remember in the old days, in the olden days, it used to take a long time to do a process, but as the energy speed up, things are much
absolutely.
Faster.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So probably we can accept information better than we could before.
Well, that's true, too. But also, so many of us are learning how important it is to stay in the present, to stay aware in the present rather than running into the future in fantasy or running into the past and having to, you know, dismantle and take apart all our personal history to rework it and play with it. So many of us have done that now, and so it's not really necessary.
Done it
and overdone it. And so here we are in the present moment, learning how to really live our life here and now. You know, the old adage, be here now,
right?
You know, really still applies, and people are getting it more and more now.
Also, there's another question I have of you. Is it really, are you aware when you're channeling Galexis, are you aware of what's coming through and what they're saying? And vibrationally, are you having some effect?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm aware of the information, and it just kind of flows right through me. And I just am not really participating in it. I'm kind of passively listening to it. So it's kind of like I'm also a member of the audience. I don't really participate in it, though. I can't say, hey, Galexis, talk about this or do that. You know, so my participation is really just cannot be in there. Mm. So it's really a wonderful experience for me. But
as a vibrational being,
I feel the vibrations.
Yes.
Oh, I feel really high when I channel, and I'm so energized after I'm done.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I've noticed is that more and more, as Galexis repeats some of the most important pieces to try to tell people, to share with people the most important pieces, that I'm beginning to retain more and more of what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, I would hear stuff, and then, you know, if I didn't talk about it immediately afterwards, it would be gone.
Hmm.
And I wouldn't know what Galexis had talked about. It's like, huh, Galexis said that, you know. But now I'm remembering more and more, and I'm integrating it more and more into my life and doing some of the techniques and shifting my attitudes and learning how to work with the energies. And so it's really
exciting.
It's like I get a little personal lesson every time I channel.
It must be kind of a break of the fields, in a sense that we're vibrational vehicles, right?
Mm-hmm.
That must have parted some of your the ways your fields were initially. So you're actually going through a transformative process on a vibrational level.
Well, absolutely. And this is part of the growth process that Galexis is going through, too, is learning how to work with my energies and keeping ramping up and increasing my vibration so the higher information can come through, so clearer and cleaner information can come through, because it always has to come through our brain and our mm-hmm. mind and our expression, and coming through our body and the cells of our body, there is a certain filter that comes into the filter of the filter of the physical plane.
That says I'm third dimensional, right?
Right. That to make it third dimensional, there's kind of like a reduction of energy or frequency and a coalescing and focusing to enable it to come through in a good form.
Right.
And they've learned so much more about how to do that. And I no longer now in some of these really growth spurts that they do, because periodically they just go up to a whole nother level and I'm like resonating on a whole nother level.
What happens to you when that happens?
Oh, at first, when it first started to happen back in the 90s, it was overwhelming for me. Sometimes I would get sick. Sometimes I would feel lots of pain and discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I would be so out of sorts, and I'd get ditzy and forgetful and spacey and so on. When it was like I was getting all these downloads mm-hmm. and my vibration was raising up, but I wasn't grounding it and integrating it and anchoring it. But now
it's pretty
I
hard to do until you have the kind of flexibility in your vibration to
well,
do that.
Well, I have learned, though, how to do that now.
Good.
So when they go up to another level, I just get higher.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited. Well, I'm very excited to hear what they have to say about the shift, because people are really going through it right mm-hmm. now.
I'm sure you have people asking you all the time what's going on, right?
Yeah, or people losing their jobs, losing their homes, families falling apart, people having magic, people, you know, creating new businesses, people creating things out of thin air. Both sides, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah. That's right.
And money. What on earth is mm-hmm. happening with money? It's just an energy exchange, but what's happening?
Well, I think you want to get to talking with Galexis now, right?
Yeah, and it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay,
so
well, I'm going to head on out, and you and Galexis have a nice chat.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you. See you later.
All right, we are here.
Welcome, Galexis. Thanks for coming to the show.
Oh, you're certainly welcome. We know you have some juicy topics lined up for us.
Yes, we want to know all the answers tonight. Have you got that for us? Well, we're looking about really wanting to talk about change and how, you know, different manifestations of change are loss and tremendous gain, or loss of self and new self-expression, aren't they? And wondered if you could be specific about what is truly going on in our collective right now. What's going to happen with the money system, for starters?
Well, the money system has already taken a big hit.
Oh, yes.
And the reason that it initiated with the money system, actually, and this whole kind of chaos that started back in 2008, initiating all of these changes and all of this economic crisis and the debacle and all the changes and shifts and so on, had to go to the money place first. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that the financial world is what holds, more than anything else, the twisted and distorted old masculine macho model of domination and violence and
get before you're gotten sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Dog eat dog world, all this kind of fighting, kind of aggression and all that type of thing. It had to go there first, because men are trained from the time that they're born to value themselves according to the amount of money they have.
Right.
And so in order for a man to find some other purpose for life, something else in life, they've got to look beyond money.
Right.
And if the money is taken away from them, or their sense of security and foundation of money is somehow shifted or changed in some way, giving them a tremendous amount of anxiety or a need to make some kind of flexible changes on adjustments in their life, they have a better option to look out the spiritual.
Hmm.
Because it's in the spiritual, emotional, that is the fulfillment that they were looking for in the first place, you know, busting their ass to go and get money, you see, is that all of that dedication to money, all that dedication, that workaholism, as the as the most noble endeavor, you see, has to go. Mm. And they're all that pushing and driving and pushing and driving. They were not getting fulfilled. So also, there was a few of them, of course, that are up on top. We call those the top dogs. They were doing pretty well. But a lot of people who had to lose their homes, who lost their jobs, who had to, who lost their savings, who had to come out of retirement, for example, to work again, and so on, they had to have a new set of values. Now, women also are going through this, too, because if you've noticed in the statistics are showing that women are responding to this whole economic crisis much better. In fact, they're starting businesses at twice the rate of men. Mm-hmm. More of them are holding their jobs. And whereas women normally used to be like 40% of the employment scene, they're now getting virtually 50-50.
Which is so pretty exciting.
It is pretty amazing. Now,
but I was going to ask you another thing. Now, the mortgage swindle and all these financial debacles, as you called them, hit at a time when the male archetype is also very weakened, isn't it? It doesn't mm-hmm. seem to have the role model. So,
but you know, the male archetype, the old macho one anyway, is always fiercest when it's cornered.
Hmm.
It's like an animal defending itself. Mm. There's a tremendous amount of defensiveness attack. All right. Mm. And so that's, in a sense, a backlash of the macho that has been going on in American politics and social structure and so forth over the past 10 to 15 years. Mm. There's been a lot of moving back and forth, trying to, for example, the conservative agenda is much more macho. There's jokes made that the Republican Party is the masculine party and the Democratic Party is a feminine party, because the old guard, or the GOP, as it's often called appropriately, supports and reinforces the whole old system of the man being important and powerful, making lots of money, and doing it at the expense of anybody else who's in the way.
Right.
And taking advantage of, you know, whoever he can, and that's just what he has to do. That the rules of money-making and the rules of politics are might makes right. And so a whole bunch of changes had to come through, and that's what has been going on for the past few years.
Hmm.
And this is opening up people to their gentler side, opening up people to their emotional bodies, because their emotional bodies got jammed up with old gunk, which has to be cleaned out, and hence the change. So people are going through the dark chaos, which is the dismantling and the letting go of the old structures.
And that includes the dismantling and letting go of the value of money as we've known it, doesn't it?
Well, yes, in a way. It does. The thing is that many people are never going to live at the financial level they used to.
Hmm.
However, there's going to be a new resourcefulness that emerges.
That'd be great.
You see.
And it's going to cut
new
through.
Ways of, and people are going to band together and refuse to be servants of major mega corporations.
Hmm.
But they have to go through some kind of personal shift first. And that's what people are going through right now. That's when people are saying, oh, gosh, Veronica, what's going on? You know, it's crazy out here. That's what they're referring to, is that the template, the foundation of consciousness, the foundation of personal change has to shift. They have to move from a sense of feeling powerless and filled with rage and afraid of their futures and trying to do everything they can focused on security and safety.
Mm-hmm.
And to shift over to a new model, which has to do with the freedom to make choices and the freedom to be who one is and to live one's life authentically. And
so
to
instead
live
of saying truth. I'm a CEO and that makes me safe and secure, I have to rip that off.
Well, actually, if you ask real CEOs that seem to make tons of money, they're not secure.
No
one ever has enough money.
Right. That's true.
That's just part of this whole drive-push program, is that you're never enough, and you never have enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's never any place that will guarantee you that you're going to be safe, that your family's going to be safe, that you're going to be secure.
But it's extreme right now, isn't it?
It's extreme right now because this whole old system has been threatened and it's dismantling for people personally all over the planet.
So the exciting thing is that if it dismantles and many people can become resourceful, then it's going to change the whole nature of business, is it not, in the rapport that
we have? Oh, of course. That's the whole thing that's going on.
So do
also,
you see it happening?
Yes, it's in the process of.
Okay.
It just takes a while. Because this is a huge, huge change, we want
yes,
you to know.
Is. Yes,
this is so enormous because you're moving from an old masculine, twisted masculine situation into one where the masculine comes into its own in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
The healthy male energy is coming in. Now, and this is true for women as well as men because both men and women are comprised of the masculine and feminine energies in a unique blend or proportion,
mm-hmm.
right? And so what's happening right now is as the old structures are passing away and dismantling and so on, people are having to become more resourceful to think about how in the world they're going to function in the daily life. And women are the ones who normally spearhead social changes
mm-hmm.
just because they tend to be more psychic, they seem to be more perceptive, they seem to be more imaginative. And
we were more involved with the social things like schools and, you know, we used to be more involved in the communities of families.
Oh, yes, and
so
you look at any little boy growing up, little girl growing up, the more likely that the girl's going to be much more interested in her friends and the boy's going to be much more interested in gadgets and, playing war stories and competing and fighting with the other boys.
Right.
You can see it in childhood dynamics. Some of this will change, but some of it is inherent to the dynamic and aggression and assertiveness that's natural to the male. It just needs to be channeled a little bit more gently and more differently. And the feminine energy needs to have a greater sense of strength and more value in relationships. But you see, relationships have been really reduced in value because money has been increased in value. Money and economics and business and all that kind of stuff has been made way more important because of this twisted masculine. So it's all changing right now, and people on a personal level are having to go through quite a bit of dismantling of their past, of their history, of the storyline that they have lived their lives according, and the storyline example being, I always experience things like this. This always happens to me. And those kinds of things.
Right.
They're going to have to let those go because the circumstances have changed now, you see. And as people do that, they begin more and more to enter into this sense of emptiness.
Mm.
Like, okay, the past is gone. I don't have it anymore. Now what do I do? I'm stuck with me right now here.
Who am I, right?
Yeah, who am I? And the only way to get through this whole challenging time, this whole huge, huge change that's happening personally as well as culturally, is to ask, who am I? And who do I choose to be? And what is my identity? Mm-hmm. My identity is not so-and-so who has these family members and makes this kind of money and works this kind of job and has this type of relationships. That's not my identity anymore. There's something more. And so there's a tremendous spiritual search ongoing right now for people to find out, well, who am I? Otherwise, they're lost. Otherwise, they feel just absolutely lost. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They seek. Tell me what to do. What can I do? You see.
So there are pools of loss all over the place. What are some of the advantages that are coming through? The frequencies are moving up. Like people, if we stay still these days, there are changes going through us, are they not? I see.
If you stay still by that, what do you mean by that?
I mean that, and you've spoken of this before, downloads of energy coming through, downloads of frequency coming through, which
there's
are often...
There's a lot of frequency changes going on. Now,
yes.
We want you to understand that these frequency changes are actually initiated by human beings.
Oh, how exciting.
Right? It's the personal changes of each person is, in a sense, an additional light going into the collective, which is the mingling and the resonance, the field of resonance of everyone on the planet. And people are, so many more people now are moving towards the light, are finding more about who they are. that they are putting, and it's stronger. The light is stronger than the darkness.
So the gift of moving toward the light is just finding out who you are?
That's right. And as you find out more that you are a light being, that you are a powerful person, that you have, that you are gifted by your Creator with choice and will, and that you're valuable intrinsically just because of who you are and not because of what you do and how much achievement.
So do you think that's amping up because of the dissemblement of these other systems?
Oh, yes, exactly, because people are turning to spirit. People are turning, you can see it even in the most common circumstances where you would not think that a person has a seeking for spiritual things. You see much more of a turn to loving their family and valuing their family and valuing the people that are treasures for them. More people are becoming to recognize that these relationships and the people that they love, and that love itself is way more important. And that is the glue that holds a life together in fulfillment. Hmm. That you don't get fulfillment just from money. You get fulfillment from your experiences of love, of experiences of creativity, of expression and receiving from others. That's where you get fulfillment, you see. And so there's so much more looking for that option, looking for that alternative. And also we might want to say that the younger people that are have been right now, who are perhaps in their teens, 20s, even perhaps into early 30s, are really making a quite a bit of a difference in this direction. Because they didn't come in a sense, with a mission like those who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s to make a big change. They're not the initial changers, but they're coming in without a certain sense of limited constructs. They're able to start clearing out sooner, earlier, you see. And so as a result, they're beginning to dream, and their dreams are combining with those who are older, who are seeking the new ways and the new paths. And all of this together is creating a leading edge to the consensus, a leading edge to the mainstream that is pushing into the future, pushing of new vision, a new dream, a new light into life and living in the future. And this
so you're
is
saying
affecting
it's kind
everybody.
Of a, and it's a, we're kind of born into the different levels of consciousness that the collective overall,
oh yes,
has
the collective
achieved.
Has changed tremendously. Yeah. You're seeing not only a tremendous new amount of visionary people, but you're also seeing a whole bunch of people that are still in the reactive, you know, like the as we mentioned earlier, the cornered masculine, defending, attacking, trying to control better, trying to manipulate better.
Getting a little meaner under the pressure, I would say.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yes. Mm. And feeling more insecure and therefore trying to control even more. Mm-hmm. And so there's that factor, and most people pay attention to that. It's like when
that's what's on the news, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, that's what's on the news. And you also notice the, you know, the aberrations and the machinations of behavior of people who are up at the top who think they're immune to anything.
Yes.
And all the stupid stuff that they do and all the control they try to create and so on. But you see, people are focused on that. It's like when teenagers get into trouble. It's mainly the boys who get into trouble because they do physical things. They do violent things. You see, and so then everybody focuses on that. You see, whereas really what's going on, as a contrasting to that, is more and more people are seeking. They're seeking something more fulfilling, something more real. And where you seek that is inside yourself. You seek it by discovering who you are.
Does that really amp up the rage some people feel at the way the system has them oppressed? Or
well, yes, but the rage has always been there.
Hmm.
And more rage is coming out. You know, you get more crazy guys going and shooting people.
I know. I was thinking about that. I wondered if it was because the pressure's on and they're trying to find themselves and they are going.
No, that comes more just not just with rage, but with a tremendous amount of shame.
Hmm.
Because the downside, the underbelly, you might say, of the twisted masculine system is that there's tremendous amount of shame, humiliation, and failure. If a man doesn't make money, he's a failure. If he doesn't make money, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating. He feels terrible. And he feels so bad, he feels that he must off himself.
Remember 1929 stock crash? How many of them jumped out windows?
Well, the suicide rate has been really high over the past few years.
Yes.
Since the economic crisis. But you see, the people don't pay attention to all the changes that are going on, all the spiritual development. We're not talking religion. It's not like there's a wholesale return to the church. Because much of the church, particularly the more conservative denominations, are still in the old masculine fight, attack, control, manipulate model. And people are not finding that satisfying.
No.
So they're...
Gee, I wonder why.
So they're not really moving back into the church unless they're filled with so much rage. They want to fix everybody. They want to make everybody change and get rid of all the crazy people, which is everybody else but them, and so that they can feel safe and secure. But safety and security cannot be found. It will not be found, absolutely, unless people begin to trust that the reality that they are living in is a beautiful one, a loving one, a safe one, and a supportive one.
Do you think that's coming through individuals, like just rising in individuals in a consciousness way?
It's beginning to make its way into individual awareness. But you see, the good thing about this is that as individuals move through this transition, through this pause, you might say, where they discover who they are and they discover that they can live their life a bit of a different way, that they can orient their life to their own joy, to their own truth, they move into what we call the light chaos. Rather than the dark chaos, which is a dismantling and the disintegration of the old forms, patterns, structures, and
but they're simultaneous,
situation.
Right?
Not necessarily. For individuals, generally, they'll go through the dark chaos first.
Okay.
They'll go into the void. They'll go into this kind of empty place where they have to find who they are and dream a new dream for themselves. And if they try to dream a dream that is just another version of the old dreams that have died, they generally are not very successful, and they'll feel kind of lost, and they'll loop back into the void, into the nothing, and scratch their heads and say, okay, now what? Until, in a sense, they start to say, well, what's fulfilling to me? And who am I? And what can I do? And as they start to take their power back from the system and from money and from the corporate giants and so on, and start to have their own opinions and start to be their own bosses and be their own authorities in their life.
Tell me this. Are we... This is what I keep hearing. We're a race that came in to learn how, through lifetimes, to do what you're talking about, to actually realize we can create the dreams we want to live. But it's taken us hundreds of thousands of years. Is that how you perceive it?
Well, it depends. Really, it's not a time-oriented thing at all. What's happening, though, is a whole bunch of people got into incarnating so that they could be here now for this experience, so they could participate in it. Some people who are here now have not been, if you look at other lifetimes, a lot of people go and look, oh, gosh, you had to learn this, then you had to learn this, and so on.
So it's not sequential.
It's
like
not
that.
Sequential whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Some people haven't hardly had any lifetimes, and they're, boom, right in here getting into it. But the point we're making...
They don't need as much therapy.
No, of course not. Some of them are the younger people who are coming in and to provide a great deal of the foundation of this new reality that you were moving into. But the thing is that once a person makes it through this void, makes it through this empty place, and kind of gets a sense of who they are, out of it will bubble this incredible creativity. And people are finding their creativity waking up, their dreams and their imagination waking up. And then they can start putting it into action, learning how to translate it back into physical plane from their inspiration planes and from their imagination planes, and to bring it back into physical reality. And they move into what we call the light chaos, which is the piecing together of the new template. That's what's so exciting, is that there are numerous people who have been, since the summer of 2010, when it really began to be obvious that the light chaos was available. for those who had made it through the being, through the understanding who they are phase. Then they can do doing again. They can do action again. They can have dynamic career paths or whatever it is that they want to do. But they're going to be under a new context. There's going to be a new way about it. It's going to have a new truth about it for them, a new light. And that's what people are doing. That's so exciting. And that's what's changing the collective. Now, a lot of people have talked about, you know, that the evolution is coming, and it's almost like they think that they can just sit here and whew, they're going to evolve. And that somehow, you know, these great, these major things are going to happen, and the financial system is going to be totally collapsed, and then they're going to be the top dogs.
When I said that earlier about staying still, I was referring to you talking last night about, at a wonderful gathering that you conducted for us, about frequencies coming in from, I understood, from the universe and changing our brains and so on. And I was just thinking how, to me, who's often conversant about frequencies, it seems like it's acupuncture. It seems like it's hitting us, and we're sometimes being shaken up by it and then are changing. Do you see it like
it's
that at all?
It's much more like homeopathy.
Oh, okay.
In the sense that when you take a homeopathic remedy, if you take a correct one, it kind of takes you back through and cleans out your track, which is a storyline. Okay, it cleans out your storyline, cleans out your history, cleans out your past, and then it takes you gently by suggestion, hint, gently into a new space. And in a sense, that's what's happening.
So we're kind of, it's evolution, isn't it?
It's an evolution. It's what we call an emergence, because individuals who've chosen to come and be the first waivers, we've talked to you about first waivers before, those who are willing to go cross the gap and get to the other side, get to this light chaos and to template it for people, all right? These people, these first waivers, and many of people who listen to your program are first waivers, these people actually get inspired by their own personal changes, and they call in a lot of help. They receive a lot more energy. They receive a lot more energy from all your unseen friends that are out there, all the ETs, the ascended masters,
because
the
healers. Because they ask for it?
Yes, they're willing to receive it. They're willing to acknowledge that it's probably there and open to it. You're not going to get a regular Joe blow on the street to say, oh, yeah, there are spirit guides around me, you know, and I can open and receive their help. Ooh, that's too weird. That's the devil. Oh, panic, you know. But the first waivers say, it's all frequency. It's all energy anyway. Let's move with it. Let's experience these frequencies. So there's a lot of work going. As you lift your frequencies of your choices, of your life, of your living in freedom and in power, and you start to work with your reality as a friend rather than as an enemy, and you begin to notice that your brain is picking up higher frequencies and it's going to change the nature of your brain. It's going to change the way you perceive. And it's already happening, if you notice.
The way we perceive, meaning
the scope of perception.
So beyond the third dimension.
Absolutely. And that's part of this great shift.
And reading one another and being a little more. Talk a bit about empathy.
Okay. The empath is a person who really picks up other people's frequencies rather quickly and rather easily. Unfortunately, there's a downside to the empath, and that is that sometimes the empath just picks up way too much gunk.
Right.
And it's easy for them, particularly if they're a healer or they're a therapist or something, to get over-involved in their clients and to get really sucked into it and to get into emotional states that are not really theirs and they don't really need to reprocess for themselves. But they get into it, and so they get burdened down with other people's stuff. Hence, so many people that do healing work have to learn how to protect their energy and keep their energy clean so they don't pick up stuff from their clients. Because the clients want to come and dump their dark stuff on the table or over the phone or whatever it is.
And we want them to do that.
And they want to do that, and they should do that.
Right.
It's just that the empath has difficulty separating and distinguishing themselves from that person. However, if the empath can learn how to move energy in such a way and how to be aware of their energy and their usage of their energy, they don't have to do any protection whatsoever. They don't get loaded up with anybody. But they have to learn how to receive energy, and they have to learn how to send energy. Now, you'd think that some of these people who are energy healers know how to send energy. Yes, they do. Sometimes they channel the energy, and most of them say they channel the energy, and that's fine. But you've got to be able to do it from you, too. You've got to do it from your heart. Hmm. You've got to know how to move energy from your heart. If you do that, you create an auric field around you that is love energy. This energy goes out, touches everybody. Okay, unless you have judgment about people out there. Now, there's a lot of spiritual egos going around saying, oh, yeah, we're so evolved and they're so not evolved. So if you have a judgment on people, and if a therapist or healer has a judgment on their clients, oh, they're so unevolved and I have to enlighten them and so on, they're going to get stuck with some of their energy. Okay. They're not really projecting energy. They're receiving too much. And it's not a good receiving. They're good receiving and bad receiving. The bad receiving is that whatever's out there on the airwaves, I just suck it in. All right? And there's lots of rage and terror and shame and misery and suffering and everything. This, you know, the whole spectrum, the whole gamut is on.
And if we're talking evolution, you want to be out of that.
You don't want to get into all that kind of chaos that's mm-hmm. there, because you can pick up, you know, you filter it into you. If you have judgment, you're going to filter in gunky stuff.
Right.
Right? And you're going to filter in all sorts of things to reinforce the judgments and make your reality more negative. So the receiving needs to be love as well. You project love. You have to project love. And then you open and you can receive love. Now, the love will come to you through various forms. It won't come to you just as people going, oh, I love you, I love you, right? No, it's going to come to you in the forms that you enjoy. Like it'll come to you with money or a good relationship or a healing of your body or
support.
Or fun adventures or creative inspiration. Mm-hmm. It's going to come to you in ways that you like. But you've got to get that love out there with no judgment. Mm-hmm. You've got to move the energy out there. Then you're protected. You understand? Then what comes to you is safe for you. Then what comes to you is loving for you mm-hmm. and fun. Instead of that you everything that comes in, oh gosh, I have to process this now. You see? So when you are able to extend your energy field out there and really be able to claim the light being that you are, the divine person, you know, the divine being having a physical plane, physical body experience, all right, mm-hmm. then you're able to really hold your resonance, hold this field of frequencies around you. And when people come into your energy field, they're uplifted.
And Galexis is going to give us an exercise to help us clear and move out of what old ways and resonances that are no longer valuable.
Well, now that sounds awfully general. How many hours do you have? the most important thing that we would say is for people to, is a kind of a technique that we would suggest that people do in the morning is a really good time to do it. But in the evening is good too, maybe twice a day, is to go and stand in front of the mirror and look at themselves and acknowledge, you know, I love you. I care about you. I appreciate you. Looking to your eyes. Don't look at all the imperfections of your appearance. You know, so many people look at themselves in the mirror and say, oh, there's a flaw. There's a zit. Or I've got to, oh, gosh, it's a bad hair day. Or whatever. You see, no, look out into the luminescence of your eyes. Look into your being and acknowledge who you are. You're a spiritual being, and this, you're right now in the middle of a physical body, physical lifetime experience.
Mm-hmm.
But you're powerful. Your reality is specific for you. You're living in an illusion that you are the leading character in. You're the star. And why not love yourself? Value yourself. Appreciate yourself. Honor yourself. Respect who you are. All right.
And sometimes that's a huge step, isn't it, to go into I'm...
It gets really uncomfortable. Especially, you notice so many people are very uncomfortable, has a lot of difficulty receiving compliments. If a person has difficulty receiving compliments, they'll get all this modest thing, oh, it's nothing or whatever. or they will have the ego approach to it. It's like, oh, I'm getting a compliment. I feel really uncomfortable. Then they will go instead into an ego thing of explaining why that they're so good or they're so whatever. And important, you see. And either way shows tremendous discomfort with it and tremendous discomfort with their self-image. That's why looking in the mirror and speaking to yourself can be so powerful because it can be so uncomfortable. You can feel so much anxiety when you first do it. You have to do it till you're really comfortable. And then once you get comfortable with that, then every time you look at yourself in the mirror, you feel this love for yourself. You project love from your heart center to that reflection that you see there.
So we're coaching our reflection.
Yeah, you're just kind of like interacting with your reflection.
I love that.
And loving that, you see. And then you send this love, not just to your reflection, but now you send it to your world. Send it to everybody. Send it even to the mean, nasty guys. Right? Don't judge anybody. You just send it out there. You send it into the world, a big beam of light. Just send it out there and say, I gift my love to the world now, freely, unconditionally.
That's wonderful. I
and
love
then,
that.
After you do that, you just sense yourself being really, really bright, about 20 feet tall. And then you state, okay, now I'm willing to receive whatever the world wishes to give to me. Now, a lot of people get panicky over receiving because they think, oh, gosh, if I'm going to receive anything that comes to me, it's going to be bad. You know, it could be bad. It could be terrible. A surprise could be really devastating. I don't want to receive something painful. Well, the thing is that if you're radiating your beautiful light, then whatever you receive is going to be filtered through that. It's like you're not going to be receiving judgment and pain and trauma. If you're holding your resonance, you're going to be receiving that which is in alignment with and congruence with your resonance. And this is actually the essential metaphysical basis of manifestation teaching. Every teacher that's taught manifestation teaches this very same thing. It's essentially, it is who you are that manifests.
You your see? Reality.
Yeah, your reality is always reflective of who you are. It's not reflective of what you want. If you're greedy and you're anxious and insecure and you want millions of dollars so that you can feel safe and secure, and then you'll be the important person and then you'll be able to change the world and do all these good things. But boy, you're so insecure. What you're going to receive is going to reinforce that insecurity till you get rid of it. And that's the lessons that people get. That's why people keep thinking they're getting lessons. There's so many beautiful spiritual people who keep getting really painful challenges over and over again, many with money. And many of those things are because people who have been on the fringe, people who are spiritual, have been the rejects of society for so long that they are receiving judgments in other forms. They judge others out there because they rebel and they say, okay, I'm spiritual. I'm going to stay away from that hoi polloi out there and so on. But then they can't receive love. They can't receive money. They can't, that comes from there.
They're just not in the flow.
They're not in the flow. They're not connected. And so as a result, then they go, oh, I have another lesson. I have to go through this lesson again. And so on. You don't have to go through any more lessons. You can be done. It's all about holding your resonance, loving yourself, and not judging.
So does that actually manifest financial support?
Oh, absolutely. We've seen miracles happen
really
on a financial level, yes. We did a workshop called Money Magic, and we've had many people write us and tell us, you know, my whole relationship to money is so totally different. I really see things now. I see things differently. And even people that we know very close, and even the channel, the one who channels us, has seen quite a shift as far as receiving money and the possibilities and the potentials and so on like that. Some people are actually making money hand over fist since the workshop. It's just been an amazing thing.
Hmm.
You see, because in that workshop, we taught people about this energy flow, how to do it. We did a little brain training work on them. Now, all of this is available on CD for people who want to go through the experience.
We can find it on your website.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's on the website.
But you're saying change of brain, is that vibrationally then?
That's a vibrational shift.
Shifting it so it doesn't have the same
exactly. Think about
belief
this.
And program.
If you don't hold limiting beliefs, what's going to happen in your brain? The brain is there to hold the physical reality of all your beliefs and your attitudes and all their feelings and all your choices and all your storyline and all your attitudes
patterns
about yourself
of thought, right?
And all your identity. It's there to kind of process everything relative to that.
Hmm.
If you change that and you step into your light being self, the brain is going to then process everything according to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we also do brain work in the workshop, which is also on the CDs.
Hmm. So brain work is not only about money. Well, I just want to say this about money. Didn't you talk before about how we eventually are radiating a tremendous loving light in a huge, like a ball or a great sphere around us? Didn't I hear you say that?
Well, yes. When you expand your energy field, when you just imagine your aura all filled up with light, you can imagine yourself a big, big oval, you standing in the middle of it. This is just the way to imagine the
your
energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Just imagine the energy.
Yeah.
If you can imagine it, it can just be right there. You don't. Most people don't realize how close their reality is to their imagination. You don't have a reality unless you can imagine it.
Hmm.
If you can't imagine having $1 million, well, you're never going to have it. If you can't imagine having a really successful relationship, you're never going to have it. You've got to be able to imagine it and imagine what it feels like and what it feels like when it's natural to you to have that, whatever it is you want.
What it feels like, that seems to be where the power of manifestation is.
The power of manifestation is with the feeling, is with the emotional body, it's the states of emotion, states of feeling, states of being.
So if you're dreaming of being a certain thing, you really need to be able to feel it for the manifestation to have full effect.
Yes. You have to really step into it and own it. That's your self-image has to expand to match whatever it is, whatever reality you want to create. That's the central basis, as we say.
Can we jump back into the brain?
Yes.
And we know that the belly and the brain are very related, but can we just talk about brain work for a little bit? And where are we headed as a species? There's a lot of people cracking up, having bipolar, being autistic, having a lot of anxiety attacks, developing more consciousness and third eye and all of that. There's all this stuff which appears to be coming from the changing brain. And I often wonder if it's part of our evolution that our sensitivity is increasing and our brain
it
sensitivity
is. The sensitivity is increasing. But also we want to point out that the brain functions very largely through the gut.
Hmm.
All right? It's the neurotransmitters that enable you to do all sorts of great things with thinking and activating your processes and so on, being able to focus, being able to create, and so on. All these chemicals are more created in the gut, in the intestines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the liver, the pancreas, the gallbladder, the stomach, the intestines. You know, the chemistry of the gut is critical. And what's happening right now on the planet so much is that people are becoming more and more sensitive to food. There's more food allergies. You've got
more plastics in food.
Yes, got more plastics, more mold. You've got more toxic bacteria. You've got, for example, just recently there's been a whole amount of hoo-ha over raw milk.
Hmm.
And whereas they're trying, every state is trying to shut down raw milk and keeping people from access to raw milk.
Because of bacteria?
Yeah, that's the claim, that it makes people sick.
Hmm.
Well, frankly, if you look at statistics, the people who get sick from raw milk are virtually nil compared to the people who get sick from regular milk.
Hmm. People lactose who have intolerance, which
lactose
is rampant.
Intolerant, yeah. Intolerance is very often not to raw milk, but to the ultra-pasteurized, homogenized stuff.
But wait a minute. This is back to one of the major systems, which is the system of lobbying. Lobbying to protect business is what teaches us so much, usually through the media, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But you see, people as people begin to take their power back, they're going to say, wait a minute, I should have the right to choose what I put in my body.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really uphill battle to those who want to control moneyed interests. And so this is the battleground you're seeing, and it's going to get probably quite a bit worse over the next few years.
Oh, dear.
But it, well,
it has to.
It has
it?
To. Because the resistant, the twisted, distorted, macho masculine who's trying to control everybody so that they can make money and so on and so on, they feel that they are entitled to everybody's money,
mm-hmm.
right? And they have their vision of how the world should be, where they sit at the top of it. And in a sense, people have to take their power back individually, one at a time, and then band together.
Mm-hmm. Community, you mean? In community?
Well, it can be like over the internet, too.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be
physical
community.
We certainly have good communities over the internet, don't we?
Yes. People who are what are called mouse warriors, right?
Yes.
And they send their emails to Congress and petition their Congress people, and their Congress people have to listen to the people. And so political action is very important. But to get back to the brain, right? The brain will, as people straighten out their diet and eat more naturally and get rid of all this excess, we'd say that probably the most damaging thing that's happened for people is refined carbohydrates.
Okay.
You know, that's
that makes sense to me.
Extreme sweets and all the pastries and breads and all the stuff that people just get so addicted to and just love has a devastating effect on the natural chemistry of the gut. Throws it way out of whack, and it increases the bad intestinal flora and fauna, all the bad bacteria and so on, especially candida and fungus and yeast and all that kind of stuff, just growing and expanding, and people gain lots of weight and there's more and more obesity.
And are really starving even though they're
hungry,
obese.
Yes, because they're not getting the nutrition out of their food, so they're always hungry. If you talk to an obese person, they're generally always hungry, and they eat tremendous quantities of food.
Yeah, bless their hearts. That's
and they can, but they can't satiate it because what they're eating is not being absorbed because the gut
so
is not
feeling
not
the
working.
Protein and the mini.
Yeah, it's not working right. So
and
so
unfortunately, we have to end this. We want to talk to you again. Will you come back and visit us again
oh,
on
certainly.
Paradigm Shifters?
Absolutely.
How would you like?
Always delighted to.
And I so enjoy talking to you, and I know the listeners do. Would you like to tell everyone how to be in touch with you and with
Ginger? Oh, yes, we would certainly love that. We would love to hear from you. The website is galexisspirit.com.
So there are two S's in there.
Two S's, and right there in the middle. And one of the things that we do recommend for everyone is to subscribe to our weekly, it's called Subscription to Success. It's a weekly juice up, we call it love and healing, and it just gets you regenerated, it gets you recharged, it gives you a good message, and people who come in person do ask questions. And so it's really quite informative, interesting, and then we also do some work with you. We kind of energize you and get you replenished. And if you
certainly reinvigorated. That's
oh,
my
absolutely.
Experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so if people do that on a regular basis, it gets their vibration up. Their brain changes. Their body starts to shift. They start to heal. They start to make their money. They start to get their way through the dark chaos and through the void into the light chaos. It starts making sense.
And know
they start
who they
being
are.
Able to work with, their reality. They begin to become more radiant, more resonant, and they begin to attract more beautiful things to them.
Wonderful. I thank you so much for being on the show.
You're certainly welcome, dear one. It's always a pleasure.
And I thank all of you for spending this time with us. And if you'd like to be in touch with me, it's Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. For any feedback, on Galexis and the wonderful things he's imparted, she's imparted, they've imparted. I'd love to hear from you, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle. And of course, you can write to Galexis at galexisspirit.com. Tune into my website at veronicaentwistle.com and you'll read about more guests that are coming to Paradigm Shifters soon. So join us. Thank you again and many blessings.